Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and it is Halloween 2010, and you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. This is actually a best-of show from Halloween last year that we recorded when we were still with our old production company. But now we're out on our own, and I want to make sure all of our new listeners hear this as well. This is the Dog Doctor Radio Show Halloween Special.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. I'm here with my co-host, business partner, and wife, Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
I am fabulous this Halloween morning.
It is Halloween in Colorado. I would like to welcome everybody that's listening. We are glad you are here. We have a very special show for you today. We are not going to talk about anything dog, except occasionally we're going to talk about Cujo. Today we're going to talk about everything Halloween, everything Stephen King, everything horror, everything that people love about this holiday. Michelle, what's really going on?
Well, I know that you always count on me to throw out the other side of it, but there's quite a lot of people here locally that don't enjoy Halloween.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, I'd like to just say that we view Halloween as a way to remember and relive our childhood, which Halloween when we were kids was much different than it is now. Now the kids don't trick-or-treat in the neighborhoods, and you don't know your neighbor like you did when we were kids. You're trick-or-treating in the shopping malls or the schools, which I think takes the whole idea away from at least my version of Americana Halloween, which was you knew your neighbor. One of my neighbors did candy apples. The other ones did popcorn balls, and somebody did school supplies, and you made it through Halloween, and you had a good time.
Well, that's going to change here, starting on the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We are going to talk about what makes this such an American holiday, and why people should get out and let their guard down a little bit. Quit being so pent up about what everybody else is doing, and let's talk about what makes this holiday enjoyable. We are today going to talk about things that that most people would love to learn about, but not quite sure if they're ready to delve into a topic such as Halloween on a dog show. So we're going to jump right into this, and before we do, we want to let people know that are listening out there some of the traditions that we have on Halloween at our house. We do what we call the 31 Days of Horror, where we watch a different horror movie every night of the week, every night of the month, for 31 straight days, ending in watching Stephen King's Carrie. Now, that is not the best Stephen King movie out there, but is by far one of our favorites. Michelle, what is your favorite Stephen King movie?
Needful Things.
Needful Things. We did watch that this month. That is an excellent movie, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about how many things are tied together in so many of the Stephen King stories and how they are so intertwined and related. And I know it's kind of a nerdy, geeky way to bring in Halloween, but you know, that's why I have a doctorate in communication, so I can learn about stupid things in literature, I guess.
Well, this is really all about Dr. Forto today.
Absolutely not. It's all about Halloween today. So
yes, but for you, you have been a horror movie fan since beta videotapes.
At my mom's house, I still have some old beta horror movies from the 1980s. I know that we have Nightmare on Elm Street, Evil Dead. We have The Shining.
I think those beta tapes are probably worth some money nowadays.
Well, you know,
we got to go get those and eBay them.
I think we do too, and they're rough copies. But I remember my dad; he worked at Circuit City at the time, and we were the first kids on the block that had a VCR, and we had horror night all the time at the Forto household.
Right, not something that I partaked in.
I'm sorry to hear that. So anyway, also in regards to Halloween, a good friend of mine from high school, his name is Jason Goodbody, he put a thing on Facebook of what he does for Halloween. I think it's a very cool idea. Every Halloween, he gets out the fire pit, he gets out his projector, and projects either the Nightmare Before Christmas, the Pumpkin Patch, or another, I can't think of the other movie that he puts on the garage door and sets up a fire pit and hands out beers to his adult neighbors and candy to his kids. And they just sit around on Halloween and watch the movies on his garage door. I'm thinking we need to start something like that next year.
That is a way cool idea. Way to go.
Yes.
I think it would be a fabulous idea, except for more than likely our HOA would have us shut down for passing out beer.
Give us a fine. You know, it's one night a year. I think we can deal with that.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes. So Michelle, what are some of your favorite memories of Halloween in regards to traditions and things that you do with our family or as a child?
With our family, you know, our kids really do get into your 31 Days of Horror movies, which is tough on school nights when there's football on and everything else, but they really do get into that. I personally, not that much into Halloween until I met you. It was just another holiday to me. You know, when I was an adult, it wasn't that big of a deal. As a kid, I remember getting very excited about my costume. Going as a theme with my best girlfriend was always fun. Probably the most ridiculous thing that I ever did, about 12 years old, is when I think you should stop trick-or-treating as a kid.
I was trick-or-treating when I was 16 years old with one of my mom's fancy, what do they do it by, thread count sheets. They're probably something ridiculously expensive. I used to take them off the guest room bed and fill up a bag full of candy at 16 years old. That was a tradition in our high school, is we would all go out trick-or-treating as little adults.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, you got to love the candy.
So back to my little ridiculous story as well. I remember going as roller skating babies.
Sorry to hear that.
With my best girlfriend, Denise, at 12. And let's just say it was not appropriate because your dear wife was endowed at the time. So a roller skating baby was not a good idea.
Well, you know, let's switch topics just a little bit. As we said, we're going to talk about the links in some of Stephen King's books, and I want to jump right into that. And, you know, this is a topic that always comes up, and I was talking to a client of mine not too long ago, and he has a very nice collection of Stephen King hardback bound books, some of them even in first editions and limited editions, and we got to talking, and unfortunately a lot of the dog training that day went out the window because we were talking about everything that was regards to Stephen King. And when we were doing so, we were talking about the links in the books. And when we, and it was kind of interesting because there are so many parallels. And just for example, if you happen to read Different Seasons, it's a collection of four short stories. And two of those stories, one of them is called Apt Pupil, and the other one is called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. I think most of you guys should probably remember the Shawshank Redemption. It was the movie, it was a prison movie with, what is his name? Morgan Freeman and the tall guy. What's his name?
I think it's Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Otherwise known as Susan Sarandon's husband.
But anyway, Tim Robbins played Andy Dufresne.
Hold on. Mrs. Susan Sarandon.
Excuse me. I was corrected.
Anyway,
Andy is is the lead character in Shawshank Redemption, and he is a banker in that movie. And the link between Apt Pupil, which is also a story in that book, is he also set up a stock portfolio for the main character in Apt Pupil. He was also a prisoner at Shawshank Prison when he escaped. Did you happen to watch that movie, Michelle?
Shawshank? Well, you would know. Of course I have.
That's
one of my favorite Stephen King movies. And, you know, I have to give it to Stephen King. He's not just about horror. He does do some movies that interest me and make you think about things. No, I'm not into a lot of his horror movies or books and things like that. It's just not my taste. But I have to say that I do agree with the link, and I think it would be quite interesting to see a movie done on all of the links.
We're going to talk about them all today, Michelle. So another one that I would like to talk about is the movie Carrie. One of Carrie's teachers in the movie was named Edwin King, and it just so happened that Stephen King's middle name is Edwin. What do you think about the Carrie movie, Michelle?
I think the Carrie movie is a nostalgic 1980s drippy, gooey, awful horror movie. I think if I read the book, it would probably strike me a little bit differently, but the movie itself I found bordering on B.
Did it keep you up at night by chance?
No.
All right, so if it didn't, let's talk about the book Desperation and Insomnia. The cop in desperation tells his prisoners that it's safer in the jail than outside. There are forces out there that you don't want to even think about, the cop says, which is quite similar to what Ed tells Ralph in Insomnia. Quote, there are forces in Derry that you don't want to know about. Did you happen to see the movie Insomnia? It's not the Al Pacino version that most people...
No, it's the Rob Williams version, isn't it? Robin Williams version?
As a matter of fact, they have not made a movie about Stephen King's Insomnia.
There was a movie, Insomnia.
Yes, but it is not related to Stephen King.
Okay, well, I saw the non-related movie.
How about the movie Misery? I know you've seen that one.
Yes, Kathy Bates rocks. She was very good in that movie. That movie, quite frankly, yeah, that one scared me to death. Because it's really scary to have it right there in your face that... people aren't as American as apple pie.
That's exactly right. And in a parallel between two books, the book Desperation and Misery, one of the characters in Desperation's name is Ellen Carver, and she enjoyed novels with such titles as Misery in Paradise.
Okay. You're really catching me off guard because I'm not a student of these books.
Well, we're going to get you there today. Let's talk one more time about Carrie and the book The Body. Have you seen the movie Stand By Me, Michelle?
Yes.
The epic story about the youngsters that run away from home and run into all kinds of trouble, and they find what? A dead body.
Dead body.
The Stephen King book is, or short story in the book's Different Seasons is called The Body. Teddy Duchamp, who is in the book The Body, the owner of Teddy's Amoco in Chamberlain, Maine, who happens to be Carrie's hometown, later moved to Castle Rock and ran into a Castle Rock stationery shop. He was the uncle of the young Teddy Duchamp, friend of Gordy LaChance in the book The Body. Just another
right,
link between the
Castle
two.
Castle Rock was also the town for Needful Things.
We're going to get into that in just a second. So let's talk a little bit about Needful Things. I know that that was one of the books that we watched, one of the movies that we watched this month, and I know that's one of your favorite. What struck you to like that movie as so?
Well, you know, I think it's because people are fake. They aren't as true as they appear to be at first impression. And that's really what I think that that movie is about, is that it shows you that as soon as you get permission to do something that might just get you vindicated a little bit, you jump right on it. And that's what that movie is about. Antique store owner Needful Things gives these people the permission. Says, yeah, go for it. No one would ever know it was you. But what happens is your guilt eats at you until you can't take it anymore.
A parallel between two books in regards to Needful Things is one of my favorite Stephen King books. It's called Gerald's Game. It's about a guy who gets himself into quite a bit of a predicament, and he is having relations with a young lady in his bedroom and gets chained up to the bed. And the story takes off from there. So the parallel in that...
We're not talking about Misery.
Oh, no. It's very close, but this is a little bit different. So the parallel to Needful Things and Gerald's Game, the Castle Rock County Sheriff, his name is Alan Pangborn. He is also mentioned in Gerald's Game. Sheriff Norris Ridgwick, former deputy to Alan Pangborn, is the man who captures Jobert in Gerald's Game. And they also talk about a big fire in Castle Rock in the book Gerald's Game, and it burned most of downtown. So that is the parallel between Gerald's Game and Needful Things.
Right, and in Needful Things, they did try to burn the town down because they're all fighting amongst each other, and that was the whole goal of the, and I forget his name, the gentleman that owned the Needful Things store. He thrived off of people doing evil to each other.
You know, one of my favorite books is The Shining, and I know that we watch that movie every October. What do you think about The Shining? And there's two versions of that. There's a made-for-TV version, which was filmed and kind of has a backdrop of the Stanley Hotel. And then, of course, there's the movie version. And I tend to like the movie version much better. How about you, Michelle?
You know, I always have a trouble with that movie because it jumps around a little too much for me.
Why so?
Because it's hard to follow. You're not really sure what's going on. You don't understand why this guy is up there writing a book in complete and utter isolation, but he never even writes one page. He's nuts before they even get there.
Right. Well, you know, that's by far, in my opinion, Jack Nicholson's best movie.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I think that Jack Nicholson is wonderful to watch in that movie. It's just the storyline in that movie is not one that I find entertaining.
So let's draw a parallel to another famous Stephen King book, It. Have you seen the movie It, Michelle?
Yes, unfortunately I have seen the movie It.
What do you think about that one?
Ridiculous.
You know, the clown in there, his name is?
No idea.
Pennywise.
So, you know, It would be our son Kyle's favorite movie. He, you know, Kyle, out of all of the kids, Kyle is very much into the Stephen King genre of horror and really does enjoy that with you the most. And I do know that he is trying to watch his 31 Days of Horror this year as well. And he read the Stephen King book It I think he was 11 or 12 years old, and he couldn't sleep for a week, but loved every minute of it.
Well, just a link between it and The Shining. Dick Halloran, who was the head chef up in the Overlooked Hotel, is also the Army mess cook when Will Hanlon, who is Mike's father in it, was in the Army. Halloran survived the fire at the Black Spot. He later went on to become the head cook at the Overland Hotel in The Shining.
Overlook.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about...
Wait a minute.
I'm thinking about our son's school. Talking to the mic, please, Michelle.
Here's Johnny.
And what would you like me to say?
Just say whatever's on your mind.
I got you on that one.
We're talking about Stephen King. We're talking about horror. Let's back to...
You know what I used to watch on Halloween, just to mix this up a little bit, because you're sticking me so hard right now. We used to watch The Wizard of Oz.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We didn't watch horror films. I remember being... how old were we when E.T. came out? I was 10, and I had my tonsils out that year, and I missed getting to see that movie in the theater. And so my parents decided that they were going to take us to the very next movie that came out. Well, the very next movie that came out was Poltergeist, of all movies to come out. We go to this movie. You have to understand something. My mother is 4'11", and...
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Exactly. Spooks very easily. And we sat in the front row in the theater to watch Poltergeist. And I came out with bruises up and down my arm from my mother, literally jumping out of her seat out of fear. So we didn't watch horror films at my house. My mom gets crazy over the Rocky movies.
That's a shame.
As you know.
I
am Oz, the great and powerful.
You know, I hate to admit this, but just talking a little bit about The Wizard of Oz, one of our trainers at our school, and he has been a guest on the Dog Doctor radio show, his name is Russell. His absolute favorite movie of all time is Wizard of Oz.
Yes, you cannot talk badly about The Wizard of Oz with him in the room.
Yeah, he watches it every single year. I think it comes out...
It comes out the week before, or the week of Thanksgiving, typically.
Yes, and they play it every year.
I could while away the hours, confirm...
Oh, you're getting aggravated. I love it.
I hate Wizard of Oz, by the way.
In my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle.
I love the monkeys in that movie. Those are scary.
Yes. Yeah, they are quite scary.
See,
especially...
now, here's what I think. I think if Stephen King rewrote The Wizard of Oz, you'd love it.
We'll see what happens. So let's get back to our comparisons. One of my favorite movies and books of all time, probably the most favorite Stephen King book to most fans, is the unabridged and uncut version of The Stand. And I know that we're dealing with the swine flu here in America and throughout the world, and I was one of the first people on Twitter to tie Captain Trips to the swine flu. And I remember I started tweeting about that several months ago, and people just went crazy. Oh, my God, is this truly Captain Trips? I mean, this was back early in the year, and I used to hashtag all of the Captain Trips tweets that I would do.
You know, I think it has a direct correlation, especially for our generation. We grew up with The Stand and those books and things. And, you know, out of all of his books about epidemics and things like that, The Stand does stand out for me, especially when we have the fear-based run out and get your vaccination immediately or your children will die. But we don't have enough.
Well, in the book The Stand, Captain Trips is what they call the super flu, and it was wiping out the entire population of the world with the exception of two different segments of the population, a good and evil. And the good portion of the public, or the survivors, went to what they called Hemingford Home, which eventually traveled to Boulder, Colorado. So we're going to get a Colorado connection here. While the bad followed a person by the name of Randall Flagg to Las Vegas, and Randall Flagg was purported to be the devil, And when they did so, it
was... Well, we all know what happens in Vegas. Supposedly stays in Vegas.
Well, that's why they traveled to Vegas. So anyway, it was the classic good versus evil for the survivors of the race. And there's always been talk that there would be kind of a continuation of The Stand, and that has not occurred yet. And I was just reading just last night about Stephen King, and somebody had asked him if he's going to retire, and he said he is not quite ready. He still has work to do.
Well, you would think so. I mean, with the ability to make people think the way that he does, there's no way he's going to be able to retire.
You know, he does about a book a year, and that's kind of common for authors these days. And, you know, he used to write books under the pen name Richard Bachman, and he wrote some very great stories. One of them was called, the movie ended up being The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think it was called The Long Walk in the book, the Bachman books. And it was a story about a game show where they would take prisoners, and if they could survive, that they would be released. And that was kind of one of the early Stephen King adaptions from his Bachman works.
Yes, I did enjoy the Bachman works more so than King's works. Different little twist on...
Well, the reason why he wrote under the pen name Richard Bachman was back in the day, the publishing community and the public frowned upon authors coming out with more than a book a year. So he would write a book under Bachman, and he would write a book under King. And when he did so, he was able to publish more than one book a year. Therefore, the King and Bachman connection, I guess it would be. So back to our connections and back to our dog responses. Two dog-related movies or pet-related movies are Pet Sematary and Cujo. Did you happen to see both of those?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite of the two?
Cujo.
Why so?
Because of the humanity involved. It wasn't the dog's fault that he became rabid and began attacking people. Wasn't the dog's fault.
Michelle, you're such a realist. Let's talk about the fun
my God.
In this.
Maybe that's the balance here in this relationship.
Let's talk about the fun in this. In Pet Sematary and Cujo, in Pet Sematary, one of the characters, Judd Crandall, makes a reference to Cujo. Quote, "There was a big old St. Bernard that went rabid downstate a couple of years ago and killed four people." So that's the connection between Pet Sematary and Cujo.
So I'm going to stop you for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Your favorite. Your favorite all-time movie,
for
book, whatever.
For Stephen King?
Mm-hmm.
By far my favorite, The Shining, my favorite book is The Stand.
And why?
Well, The Shining is just awesome. It not only does it have an excellent character in it with Jack Nicholson, but I drew the correlation between the book. It's just a great story. It's a great horror story.
What's your favorite line in The Shining? And you better use all the time.
I'm not quite sure. What is it?
Oh, yes, you do. You can say it just like the little boy, and I want to hear you say it.
Red Rum.
There
you
it
know,
is.
You know, when we were up in Estes Park this past couple of weeks ago at the Ambassador Chamber of Commerce retreat, we just had to visit the Stanley Hotel. And that was one of our highlights of the weekend. And
you know, but it wasn't the way I thought it was going to be.
It was touristy.
Yes.
But I happened to get a Red Rum coffee mug when I was up there, and it's proudly sitting on the shelf right now. And I understand that they have an alcoholic beverage called Red Rum as well. I haven't had that, but we were going to stop and get that, but we left quite early on Sunday morning, and I don't know if in Colorado the liquor stores are open on Sunday mornings. Is it or not?
No, they're trying to pass where they can be open on Sundays here in Colorado, but because we are in the middle of the Bible Belt, there isn't a whole lot going on here on Sundays.
Well, you know, I remember when I used to live in Duluth, Minnesota, we used to drive across the bridge over into Wisconsin every Sunday morning so we could go to the liquor store to buy our beer.
That's because it's cold up there.
Well, we had to have it. So that was just a connection that we had to do, is we had to jump over that bridge, travel into Superior, Wisconsin, and buy as much beer as we could possibly bring back into Minnesota so we could watch football. And, of course, we were all Vikings fans up there.
Of course you were. Well before Brett Favre.
No, this was the Brett Favre heyday.
Yes, but well before he was a Viking.
Oh, yeah, of course. And this weekend, the Vikings and the Packers, they're playing at Lambeau this time. And he's getting advice from Montana, according to Twitter, on how he should handle himself. You know, Joe Montana went from San Francisco to Kansas City, and I think he pretty much put the boots to San Francisco a time or two. I'm not quite sure if that's accurate or not, but he had a relatively good career.
You can't talk about Montana. You were never a 49er fan.
I wasn't, but I am a football fan, and I do enjoy comebacks, and I am enjoying it in Brett Favre's success now.
What's the next connection?
The next connection is between a book in Skeleton Crew. It's called The Monkey, one of my favorite short stories by Stephen King. It's about this demented little...
You made us listen to that on book tape.
Yes, we did.
When we were traveling with the kids, dog sledding. Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Yes. So,
traveling through South Dakota in the middle of winter, going to the Hill City Race to the Gold, listening to the Skeleton
Crew. See, everything is tied to dog training, is it not? This whole menagerie of Stephen King... hoopla that we're talking about today can be tied right back to dog training, and where we were listening to this story driving across South Dakota. This was well before Sirius Satellite Radio, where you could drive from Tampa, Florida to Portland, Oregon without ever changing the channel.
Right, but it was still awful.
I loved it. So the connection between the monkey and the stand, Hal Shelburne, owner of the Monkey, lived in Arnett, Texas, which happened to be where Charles Campion plowed into the gas pump at Hapscoms, Texaco, after he was infected by the Project Blue virus in the stand. The Project Blue virus was the code name for the super flu that was developed by the military in the book The Stand. And, of course, they escaped from the military base, and then
right,
all
and the
hell
whole
broke
basis
loose.
For that was population control, which some people I've been hearing say that that's what the H1N1 is all about as well.
We're not going to go there. We might have the Surgeon General listening, so we're going to keep that away from us. So the next one that we're going to talk about is The Shining, and the first story that we talked about at the beginning of the show, Apt Pupil. In the connection, Denker is the sadistic headmaster in Jack Torrance's play, The Little School, is also the alias of the former Nazi death camp commandant in Apt Pupil, whose real name was Kurt Dunsader.
Say all those names again.
I don't know German too well. I'm sitting here with my good friend Ken Pruce. He has a show called Travel Time, and I know one of his favorite destinations is Germany. So he very well likely could know proper German pronunciation, but he doesn't have a mic now. He airs his show every Friday morning at 9 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com/Travel Time.
What's the next connection?
Well, let's see. How much time do we have left, Mark? 30 minutes? Wow, we're moving along. We've got 30 minutes left of the Halloween special of the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We encourage anybody to leave us messages, comments, concerns, live at dogdoctorradio.com. You are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of the WebNet online radio network, coming to you live every Saturday morning from Denver Dog Works in Colorado. We'll take a little breather here, Michelle. Do you have anything that you want to add before we delve into this Stephen King? Here we go.
I think my favorite is that little boy.
Yes, he is by far the coolest thing in the world.
So, no, I don't have have anything to add. I'm kind of intrigued by when and how you found the time to do all these correlations.
You know, I've been a Stephen King reader for years, and I spent some of my free time over the last couple of weeks coming up with these correlations through the internet, and there's a plethora of information out there. You know, people spend their entire academic careers writing on topics such as this, and you know, people have written doctorate dissertations on Star Wars and term papers on Stephen King's books, and there's even a book out there called The Philosophy of Seinfeld in regards on how the characters in Seinfeld relate to the philosophy of life. It's kind of interesting that, you know, I'm just trying to get into a topic that people are very interested in, but they're so pent up, they're so, you know, buttoned up about how they should live their lives, and that's not the way it should be done. I think that they should let loose a little bit and learn to live. What do you think, Michelle?
I agree. I think that people are afraid to say what's on their mind anymore. But, you know, books take you away. That's what they're supposed to do. But they're also supposed to make you become enlightened, the person that you are.
Well, you know, this is pure fiction, and it's purely for entertainment. But
it still has the same effect. It really can have the same effect. I mean, if you watch a movie, you're going to come away from that learning something about yourself, fiction or not.
You know, that's why people watch horror movies. They watch horror movies is because all of us have a primal fear in us, and it's the same reason why we ride roller coasters and drive fast and skydive and bungee jump and all those things is because all of us have that innate...
I thought that was adrenaline.
Well, no, people like to be right there on the edge, and they know that they can control themselves back. And that's why we go see horror movies, is we like to be scared as human beings. And I think that's why the horror genre is so popular, is it takes us away from reality just a little bit, but it maintains a semblance of control as well.
I think I can agree with that. I don't necessarily think that I want to always volunteer myself to be scared. There are certain types of horror movies that I absolutely dislike because they're not about scaring you. I enjoy the psychological thrillers much more than the gore films.
Oh, by far. The suspense ones or the psychological thrillers are much better than the slash-em-up movies.
Just not sure why you're so into those Saw movies.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Saw movies, but I absolutely love the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and they are coming out with a brand new remake of that in April of Nightmare on Elm Street. And, you know, that encompasses a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of humor in there. There's a little bit of cut-em-ups, but there's also quite a bit of
it's got urban legends in it.
Yeah, a little bit of scare-your-pants-off type horror as well. You know, when Nightmare on Elm Street came out in 1984, I was 13 years old. And just a little bit of trivia for you guys that may not know this. Johnny Depp is in that movie. It was one of his first movies. And shortly thereafter, people liked him so much they was picked up on the show. On
21
the,
Jump Street.
21 Jump Street on the fledgling Fox Network at the time. And he went on to have a blockbuster career.
Looking forward to seeing him in... Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, my goodness. Let's don't go there.
He's Alice, going to be the Mad Hatter, and it looked awesome.
That also comes out in April, I believe, and our daughter Nicole is so anxious to go see that. We're moving along here. That was the movie music to Nightmare on Elm Street there. Let's bring another parallel to another famous Stephen King movie, Dolores Claiborne, played by Kathy Bates, who also played, what was her name in Misery?
I don't remember her name in Misery, but both movies, she was excellent.
She was
just
awesome.
Absolutely excellent. She captured the essence of what I believe he was trying to capture. Dolores Claiborne, very scary woman.
You got that right. So anyway, the parallel between Dolores Claiborne and Gerald's game. We talked about Gerald's game a little while ago. There is a solar eclipse. It's a prominent detail in both books. And Dolores Claiborne is the it's the time that Dolores killed her husband. And in Gerald's game, it is the time of the escapade that we talked about a little while ago.
Big old smiley moon. It's just for you. Want to see the doc died?
No.
Yeah, I guess it is pretty funny.
you got to get give it to our producer Mark Crowley.
Why the hell you make me do it?
What do you think about all these sound effects, Michelle? I think Mark Crowley is on the job today. Mark Crowley is the executive producer of the Dog Doctor Radio Show and also the, I guess you would call him the owner of the WebNet online radio network, which we are a part of that family, and awesome guy, Mark Crowley.
I have to applaud him. I do want to say on the Dolores Claiborne that she wasn't the evil in that movie.
Who was?
She tried to hide the evil that her husband brought down on her family.
Which was?
The drinking and the abuse.
Do you remember the daughter's name in that? What was her name? In real life, what's her name?
God.
Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Yeah,
She became famous in what movie?
Don't remember. I just know.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So you have to go like this. She's married to Val Kilmer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Jason Leigh is also the daughter of Janet Leigh, who happened to be in the movie Psycho, and that was also on the list of 31 Days of Horror this month. We watched that movie up at the Aurora Ambassador Retreat because there was no televisions in the hotel rooms, and I was freaking out. So I just happened to have our laptop. And we are loyal Netflix consumers, and we downloaded that movie and watched it about 1 o'clock in the morning on our laptop on Netflix. So that is the correlation between Dolores Claiborne and Psycho.
And Gerald's Game.
And Gerald's Game as well. I don't think that the daughter was a connection at all in Gerald's Game.
No, but you said that the movies were connecting. So anybody out there feeling a little sorry for Miss Michelle, send me an email and help me out here because my husband has a vast bank of useless knowledge, and in this vast bank of useless knowledge, he hides these little things that he knows about movies and Stephen King and things that he's very much interested in.
That is the miniature violin playing. If you are interested in giving some sympathy for Michelle, you can always get her at live@dogdoctorradio.com. That is live@dogdoctorradio.com. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you click that favorite button on the Blog Talk Radio site, and you can get an email every single week about the Dog Doctor Radio Show. Because this is a show like no other. You know, not only do we talk about dogs, but we talk about everything on this show, whether it's related to life or dogs, it is all intertwined, is it not?
Absolutely. It's all intertwined. And, you know, we're about entertainment, and what better way to do it than on Halloween?
Halloween rocks. That's all I can say. This is The X-Files, if you don't know that. Did you like The X-Files, Michelle? I never got into that much. It was on Fox. Gillian Anderson and then David Duchovny starred in that. They've had quite a few movies. Just not quite sure of the whole connection.
Yeah, you're not into sci-fi, so the fear factor about The X-Files never interested you because you're not into sci-fi. Sci-fi I'm kind of into, which you think is too white and nerdy.
I did like a show that's going to come out on a remake just this month called V. I know that's one of your favorites, coming out on ABC.
Yes, I had to admit the other day that I grew up watching V, and I was very much into that show.
So we'll TiVo that, and you can watch that after I'm out of the house. So,
but you will ask me how it went.
Yeah, we'll ask. And some of the other more sci-fi type shows, I really liked Twilight Zone, of course, especially all the old ones. One of my favorite movies of all time is the Twilight Zone movie. It's kind of a five or six story snippet of movies. Awesome work.
I remember sneaking over, or not sneaking over, but spending the night at my friend's house on Friday nights, and we'd stay up late to watch Friday night videos.
Yep.
How awful is that? But then after we'd watch Friday night videos, we'd watch Creepshow.
Creature Feature.
No, Creepshow.
Oh, Creepshow.
Yes.
We used to watch Creature Feature when
I was
little.
You remember the guy's laugh, the skeleton guy's laugh?
Yeah, that was on HBO, actually.
Yeah, we watched that. But we watched Friday Night Videos on MTV, and then we watched Creepshow.
I see. So we're running out of time here. You are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. I hope you enjoyed kind of our banter back and forth about Stephen King. It was a blast. I'm going to post all of these connections on our blog. That will be up on Sunday morning. So after you've had your fill of Halloween parties, costume parties, and all the sugar that your kids can eat, sit down and read our blog at denverdogworks.com and just click on that newest one, Stephen King Links. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show.
There you have it, guys. It is Halloween 2010. Let us know what you think of our compilation show. It is the best of the Dog Doctor Radio Show Halloween special. You can contact us at live@dogdoctorradio.com, and make sure you hit that favorite button on the Blog Talk player, and you'll get a reminder every week. If you like what you hear, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We'll see you back next time. Goodbye.